If you noticed in your bulletin, this is the section between the children's sermon and the actual sermon that is called Remembering the Saints. And for us here at Grace, we have two saints that have passed on in this last 12 months. Evelyn Sue Fisher, who died December 24, 2022, and Gail T. Gorline, who died January 29, 2023. And in our confessions, we say that we remember the saints so that we may give thanks for them and their witness, so that we might be strengthened by their example, and so that we might be moved to follow them as they followed Christ. This is not about hero worship, but it's about recognizing the faithful who went before us, who trusted in God, and who are now received into His mercy. It's about being encouraged in the fight that we fight. It's also about looking towards that great celebration when all the faithful will finally be together forever in the marriage supper of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. So today we remember our members, Evelyn Sue Fisher and Gail T. Gorline, and all of the saints. And we look forward to being reunited with them one day. Our sermon text for today is from John 14, 1 through 6, where it reads, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to them, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Here ends our sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you, O saints of the Lord. Today is All Saints Sunday, a day that we set aside to honor those who have gone before us, especially those who have met their Lord face to face in these past 12 months. Many churches verbally recall the members who have departed to heaven in the previous year and rest from their labors, just like we did just a minute ago. But today isn't only about them. As Lutherans, we know in the most important sense, all people who are baptized and confess that Jesus is Lord are holy in God's sight. All of us Christians are saints. But there are those people of faith that deserve special recognition. The Book of Concord, Apology 21, suggests that it is helpful for us to remember the saints of God for three reasons. First, to give thanks to God for them. Secondly, that our faith may be strengthened by their example. And thirdly, that we may imitate their example of faith and virtue. All Saints Day is a day that we are reminded of all of this, to do this, not only for well-known or hero saints, saints like Saint Peter, Saint Mary, and others. You can find a list of them and their feast days in the front of your hymnal, but also for our departed saints, the ones we personally know and remember. Today is also a day that we ponder the great love of our Savior, who has a place for each one of us in His kingdom. Those of you who may have been homeless or between houses know what a comfort it is to have a place that we can call home. Or even after the most fantastic of vacations, it is always nice just to be home. Home, whether we rent or we own, is a special place. It is safe, it is comfortable, and a place just for us. In this world, home is often part of our identity. The sense of who we are is often tied to where we are. We live on this earth as earthlings. We live in this country as citizens of the United States. We are Tennesseans, residents of Murfreesboro or some of the surrounding communities. We live on a specific street or in a precise neighborhood. I've heard Amy mention that as a baby and a young girl, her family lived on the corner of Ashland Avenue and Blackhawk in Chicago. Our sense of identity ties us to where we were born and where we grew up. And this can have a huge impact on us in our sense of self and who we are. People often ask me, "Where are you from?" Or, "You're not from around here, are you?" I typically reply, "Well, I'm originally from Wisconsin, but I've lived in Tennessee 25 years. Amy usually answers, "I was born in Chicago," which actually explains her irrational affection for the Chicago Bears. Go Packers. But regardless of where we are born or what team we root for, the location of our home has left an imprint, an indelible impression of what makes us who we are. But when we think of our loved ones who have gone before us in glory, the details of home become a little harder for us to comprehend. So we cling to what we know. We know that as believers, those who have had faith are with the Lord. We know that they are loved and accepted, free and forgiven, released from all pain, suffering, tears. This should bring us comfort during our time of grief and our time apart. But sometimes we want to know more. And in today's sermon text, we get more. John's gospel records Jesus' words where he talks about a house in heaven, a house that belongs to his Father, a house that has many rooms. He explains that he goes there to prepare a place for us. He gives us this concept that we can work with, that meshes with a sense of who or maybe whose we are. A description of how homes were built in the time of Jesus gives us even further insight. I've read that at the time when a man is betrothed or engaged to a woman, the first thing that he did was start adding rooms to his father's house so that he and his new wife could have a place to live. Archaeologists have since discovered that the outlines of such homes where additions have been built in have really an expanded footprint, where room after room after room has been added. These houses become kind of a maze of expanded places where, with rooms added to the base house to make a home for a new family and their future children. The bride and the groom in those days came to live with his family, with his mother and father. To draw a parallel here, in a broader sense, it pictures the Son, Jesus Christ, getting a place ready for his bride, the church, in the dwelling place of his Father, our God, who is seated on the throne in heaven. Jesus does all of this so that we might join together with all the other people in the family of God, believers who already have places or rooms built for them. It also helps us to remember that Jesus was trained as a carpenter by his earthly Father. As a carpenter, he knew how to build things on earth. A craftsman in things built with stone, with wood, with metal. He may even have built houses before his ministry began at age 30. This helps us to understand and have faith in him that he will build a place for us in heaven, which will be our home for eternity. Our Savior and Creator knows exactly what we need to live here on earth. And he knows exactly what we need to live to the fullest in the place where we will join him together forever. The hallways of heaven echo even now with the shouts of joy and happiness in the one who brought his loved ones home, safe and sound, and celebrating. And for us as saints not yet departed, we sing hymns like, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. here in our churches, God's dwelling place on earth. But we also wait with eager anticipation for the time when we, like John witnessed in his vision of the heavenly throne room, will join together with all the saints in heaven, joyfully singing, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." What a glorious day and place that will be. But until that time, we wait. We wait for the consummation of God's plan for his people when Christ returns to take us, body and soul, to our divinely constructed rooms above. But what are we to do in the meantime? We are to do in small ways what we will do then. We praise, we sing, we worship, we fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we go out into the world speaking forgiveness and love to one another, telling the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our homes here on earth are to echo our praises and our prayers to God. And our doors and our hearts are open to all who, by faith, given as a gift by the Holy Spirit, are led to enter into this community with us. On this All Saints Day, it's impossible not to think of the loved ones who have gone before us. And when a loved one dies, many times the first things we do after a funeral is to gather around for a meal with the friends and family of the one who has passed away. We surround ourselves with what St. Paul describes in the scriptures as a great cloud of witnesses. Those who have reminded and remained steadfast and joyful in their faith. These are the ones who have the same hope that we do, the sure hope of heaven and of an everlasting home that we all will enjoy together. We do not grieve as others who do not have hope. When we gather together in the memory of our loved ones on the day of the funeral or on this All Saints Day, we have an inner joy that breaks through our deepest sadness. It is the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ, the joy that carries us through the darkest valley of the shadow of death to the bright light of eternal life. Jesus made his home with us here on earth for a short time so that we and all who believe in him might have a home with him in heaven for eternity. If this were not so, he would have told us, as he says in our sermon text for today. So let the comfy, the cozy feeling of home comfort you, O saints of God, as we think about our loved ones, past and present, and as we look forward to that day when we will make our move to our heavenly home. And to God be the glory. Amen.